KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is my co-host, Caleb.
Hello, everyone.
We are back from the holiday break. Hopefully you all had a wonderful time doing fun stuff.
Yeah, hanging out with family.
Family and friends and all that.
Mm-hmm. All possibly that enjoying the joys of giving and receiving of festive items.
Exactly, exactly. For whatever you celebrate or
yes.
Don't celebrate.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're if you're doing Festivus polls or you're or what have you, you're spinning your dreidel or whatever.
Exactly. Now, it's a new year. It's 2014, and
we are in the future. Future.
The future is now. And maybe you're unfamiliar with our show. The schedule just started up again. What is Robots Attack? I've never heard of this before. Well, like I mentioned, we are a geek-centric talk show. We talk about tech news, entertainment news, random other news. We have segments, different sort of segments in the show, and we break all those segments up with music. So don't fret, there will be some music as well. You're getting ready to that dial, like, oh no, I'm going to change it.
No, stick around. It's worth it.
You're going to have a great time, I guarantee it. And if you don't, well,
try again next week.
Yeah.
It'll be better.
Because we're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
It's only going to get better from here, everybody.
Exactly. So, like I said, we're Robots Attack. And one of the things we like, see, we talk
to each other. We do. We're all here in the studio. We see each other.
But we also like it when you participate.
Yes.
And Caleb loves to tell you how you can do that.
I do. And the best way to get in touch with us is while we're doing a live show is either Facebook or Twitter. Our Twitter handle is Robots Attack Me. And if you want to find us on Facebook, do a search for Robots Attack, and that's two words. If you like to catch up with us via email, we are robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And we also have a Google Plus page. Do a Robots Attack search there. Or if you're just trying to, like, wait, that's a lot of disparate things.
I'm new.
Just remember one thing. The one URL to rule them all is robotsattack.me. At that website, we have a button that says interact and a section that says interact on our page, which will have links to all the things I have described, including an email form, so you can email us direct from the website if you so desire.
That's right. Now, I know you're thinking, hey, it's a talk show. Why don't I just call in and talk to him? Well, right now, don't do that.
Yeah.
We're not really set up, specifically our show, to do that yet. But maybe if we get enough from those other sources that we mentioned, maybe we'll open that up at some point in the show. But right now, just follow the instructions that Caleb gave you. And I also play a bumper throughout the show that gives you that information again, just in case you didn't have a chance to write that down because maybe you're driving because we are on the radio.
Yes.
And usually radios are inside vehicles that move.
They're commonly there, yes.
Yeah, and you don't want to be writing things down while you're driving.
Yeah.
Because that would be bad.
Yes. Do not text while driving either. That's also bad.
Exactly. So, Robots Attack, it starts with the new releases.
That's right.
We're going to start it off with some movies in the theater opening this week. All right. First, I have The Legend of Hercules, starring Gia Weiss, Colin Lutz. He's sort of recognizable. I know he was in, like, the Twilight movies. Roxanne McKee, Scott Adkins. So this is like one of two Hercules movies coming out. I think the other one has The Rock. So
they have a little more name recognition with that one for some reason.
Yeah, it's doing a little bit of the, you know, Volcano,
Dante's Peak.
And Deep Impact and Armageddon, like, we're bringing it back
yeah.
to Hercules movies.
Or even Olympus Has Fallen and White House Down.
There you go. See, you know. I guess that Hollywood has to keep that going with the two movies.
For some reason, they love to, like, just stick two movies together in the same season that have the same thing.
Yeah.
Who knows?
More power to them. In ancient Greece, 12,000 BC or 1200 BC, 12,000 BC, that'd be interesting.
Yes.
A queen succumbs to the lust of Zeus to bear a son, promised to overthrow the tyrannical rule of the king and restore peace to a land in hardship. Well, maybe if you're not that interested in Hercules, maybe you want to check out the Banshee chapter when journalist Anne Roland, played by Katia Winter, goes looking for a missing friend. She uncovers the U.S. government's most terrifying secret. Maybe that doesn't interest you. There's The Rocket, starring no one you'd know or ever heard of.
Because, all right.
It's about a boy who's believed to bring bad luck to everyone around him. He leads his family and two new friends through Laos to find a new home. After a calamity-filled journey through a land scarred by the legacy of war, to prove he's not bad luck, he builds a giant rocket to enter the most exciting and dangerous competition of the year, the Rocket Festival.
There you go.
So there's just a few of the movies coming out this week. What we like to do, I should have prefaced this at the beginning, with these new releases is we just sort of take a sample. We don't, like, just kind of random, oh, that person's sort of recognizable. Maybe somebody will know about that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't play favorites here. We just pick a sample, throw them out there, and you can find the rest if you so desire to.
Yes. And if things in the theatre are not enticing you, perhaps you need to fill out your DVD and Blu-ray collection or hit a Redbox, whichever comes first. You might consider looking up American Joyride on Blu-ray and DVD. A young couple finds themselves on the wrong side of a loan shark. Their solution? Turn themselves into reality TV stars with the help of a drug dealer brother to pay the bill and help a drug dealer brother to pay the bills in the meantime. While poor decisions abound, they are compounded when they find themselves and they're part of a revenge plot that may cost them everything.
Oh, wow.
Then there is The Act of Killing on Blu-ray and DVD, which is a documentary about this strange celebration of a certain level of killer. It's these death squad leaders that are celebrated in their area, and they reenact their killings as part of, like, entertainment, so to speak. It's a very strange documentary description. Like, I was reading it going, this exists? This is a thing somewhere?
This is real?
Okay. Some critics are saying that this film may change the way the documentary format is viewed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So who knows? If you want something a little more traditional, how about Closed Circuit on Blu-ray and DVD? It's a suspense thriller about a high-profile terrorist case where two high-powered lawyers are called in for the defense. But the deeper they go into this case, the more dangerous it becomes.
Ooh, Johnny Number 5 is a new lawyer, right? Insert your Short Circuit joke anywhere in there.
Then there's Gone Dark on DVD.
Ooh.
5 years after his death, a man's sister has taken justice into her own hands. But the truth is not what it seems, and it's questionable if anyone will get out alive.
Whoa.
Then there's Inequality for Us All on Blu-ray and DVD. It's a documentary that's expanding the socioeconomic divide as seen by Professor Robert Reich. He's an author and a former Clinton cabinet member.
I know who that is now.
Yeah. I apologize for butchering your name. And he aims to expose how this gap could lead the U.S. into an untenable future. Please note, your political views may be criticized in this film. Just, you know, probably put that out there. Some of the reviews, the reviews on Amazon are pretty funny. That was 5 stars and 1 star. And you could tell the political slant just by the first few lines. I was like, just you know, preface that. Then there's Living by the Gun on DVD.
Ooh.
And The Dust and Chaos of the Wild West. A young woman's quest for vengeance leaves a bloody road in her wake. Will the destruction of her uncle, the focus of her rage, calm her spirit? Also on DVD is An Ordinary Hero. This film tells the story of Joan Tromper Mulholland, a civil rights hero who at a young age inspired many others to rally to the cause. Even being in the Parchman Penitentiary death row could not stop her. This film celebrates the difference doing the right thing can be. So... This list was kind of ended up being a little bit documentary heavy, but again, these are just samples. They were just ones that sounded mildly interesting. And then finally, We Are What We Are is an actual movie on Blu-ray and DVD. The Parkers seem normal, if a bit reclusive, but this reclusion hides a dark secret. Rounds out the list.
All right, moving from Blu-rays and DVDs to the world of video games. Not a very big week this week. We have Don't Starve, the console edition for PlayStation 4. It's also available on the PC, but it's not the console edition in the title. It's just Don't Starve. You play as Wilson, an intrepid gentleman scientist who has been trapped by a demon and transported to a mysterious wilderness world. Wilson must learn to exploit his environment and its inhabitants if he ever hopes to escape and find his way back home. If you've got a 3DS and you're interested in a new game, there's Chibi Robo Photo Finder. Become one of the world's best tiny robot helpers by doing your part to open a new museum. Collect Tappy points by vacuuming, picking up trash, and helping a cast of colorful characters. And then use those happy points to purchase special film that lets you photograph real-world objects and transport them into the game for the museum's displays.
Huh.
From there, we have Grimm for the PC, the real meaning of the word fear. Once upon a time, a fairy tales were valuable cautionary tales filled with dire warnings and wise advice. However, over time, the stories have become so watered down with cute woodland creatures and happy endings, they have lost their true meaning and purpose. No more! And finally, the Wii Fit U drops on the Wii U.
And if you need an explanation of the Wii Fit, then, well, the name is fairly self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so from the land of video games, we slide over to the land of comic bookdom. From DC, you might consider adding Detective Comics number 27. An all-star crew of creators takes this oversized issue in a variety of directions, including a new story arc, Gothtopia.
Oh, okay.
I don't make it up. I just report it. And also from DC, if you're kind of feeling a little different, you can get Vampire Diaries number 1. Based on the hit show from the CW, this it will be an anthology series that allows the creators to explore new areas of Mystic Falls. From across the city at Marvel, Avengers World number 1. While the Avengers have returned to Earth, the threats from beyond the stars have also. This new threat will cover the globe, and Earth and her mightiest heroes will face a challenge that will alter everything.
Whoa.
Or so they claim. Until they need to retcon everything again. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what's going to happen. Black Widow number 1, if you want a change of pace, from world-saving to more of an individual level. When she isn't saving the world with the Avengers, Natasha Romanoff seeks to absolve her soul from its dark past. This new series will explore just how far she's willing to go to set things right. And then from publishers who don't necessarily exist within New York, there is Star Wars number 13 from Dark Horse. Prisoner escapes and ripple victories are not in the plan. And Lord Vader is going to purge this weakness from the Empire. Indeed. X-Files season 10 number 8 from IDW. Mysteries, conspiracies, and secret organizations, Mulder and Scully have their hands full. Then there's The Walking Dead, number 119 from Image Comics. It's part 5 of All Out War, and for crying out loud, it's The Walking Dead. If you need a reason to pick it up, it's The Walking Dead. It's good stuff. Finally, Adventure Time, Flipside, number 1. Finn and Jake seek to fill their free time with Adventure Time. They may have bitten off more than they can chew with this latest adventure, though.
Oh.
dun, 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 and finally going to round it out with a non-printed, well, you can get print editions, but it's a webcomic called Diesel Sweeties. And it's not for the kiddos, but this long-running pixelated comic has what it takes. It's good stuff.
All right. And finally, moving on to our last portion of the new releases, music. We've got Wig Out at Jag Bags by Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks.
Wow, that is quite the title and name of a band.
The sixth release with the Jicks for the former Pavement frontman was inspired by his move to Berlin and was produced with Remco Schouten.
Schouten?
Schouten? Yeah. Something. Some name of origin of places and things. Mm-hmm. Then we have Join the Dots by Toy. The second full-length release for the Tom Dougal-led rock band was produced by Dan Carey. And finally, we have Peter Gabriel tribute album and I'll Scratch Yours by various artists. The companion album to Peter Gabriel's Scratch My Back features cover songs by artists he had covered on that 2010 release. Some of those artists include Lou Reed, Arcade Fire, Brian Eno, and more.
Ooh, that should be interesting.
Yeah. So there you have it. It's a sample of some new releases this week. And now we're going to take a music break. But before all that, we've got some wonderful PSA for you about Television, A History.
Dun, 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 dun.
The Museum of American Heritage presents Television, A History, an exhibit displaying a variety of unique 1940s and 1950s era television sets from the museum's collection. The exhibit explores everything from how a television works to its social impacts. The exhibition opens September 27, 2013 and runs until March 23, 2014. And regular exhibit hours are 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, unless otherwise noted. The museum is located at 351 Homer Dolt Avenue in Palo Alto, and admission is free, 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 free,
free,
free.
And this is it's so interesting to think that, like, way back when TVs were like could be upwards of 100 pounds or so, like, you know, those big built-ins, and now, like, when your TV weighs like 3 pounds, you're like, wow, that's a heavy TV.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's not flat.
It's not 3 inches like, wide, maybe.
I can't put this on my wall. Man, you got one of those.
What's this thing sticking off the back of your TV? That's the tube. There's a tube?
Tube. It's the internet? It's a series of tubes? All right, let's get to some music. I'm going to play the band Turn Me On Dead from the album Turn Me On Dead. Remember, you can participate on the show, and we are Robots Attack, and we'll be back with the news right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook, and check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Do you want to listen to KSCU even when you are not near a radio? You can stream us over the internet whenever you want at kscu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website. And never be without the underground sound.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We're in the news, so let's give them some news, Caleb.
Yes. So here's some news you can use, and it's very appropriate for the fact that we are a radio that broadcasts on the FM band. Down in Australia, they are putting FM transmission, and that means pop music and other things that you find detestable on the radio, to good use. That's right. We are using, they're using FM broadcasts to bounce the signal off of satellites and other spaced orbital debris. And
oh, okay.
And it's being picked up by the Murchison Wide Field Array down in Western Australia. This is a precursor to what's going to be the Square Kilometer Array radio telescope, which is going to have part of it in Western Australia, part of it in South Africa, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
But in this particular case, the Murchison Wide Field Array is being used by the Curtin, Curtin University, and the director of this area is Stephen Tinge. I didn't make that up, and I didn't stutter. Tinge, sorry. They're using this really sensitive telescope, radio telescope, to track objects that are less than 1 meter big, and a meter is about a little bit more than 3 feet if you're not familiar with metric. Why this is important is because we have a lot of things in space. In the article that I linked to at the bottom, they have pictures of all the stuff that's circling above our heads right now, and it's a lot.
Space is so big.
Space is very big. The orbital space around our planet is, well, also very large. It is a little bit more finite. And back in 2009, rather famously, an Iridium communications satellite crashed into a dead Russian satellite. And this created some 2,000 parts of debris that are now sort of free-floating in space. And this may not sound like very much, but when you're in orbit, you're actually moving at a very high rate of speed. And a small piece of something that is traveling at that rate could actually punch into or through and damage satellites, the ISS, there's things, basically it creates noise and potential problems that nobody really wants to deal with or can deal with, because it's, you know, so if we can keep help keep space clean, like, you know, give a hoot, don't pollute, pick up your trash in space too. So we're working on that. But they found that this telescope can, because it's such a large, for lack of a better phrase, lens. It's a very big space that they can use to watch space with. They can actually track tons of objects every day, and actually, you know, since they can trace them with regularity, they can see what their orbit is, what their pattern is. They can move satellites in and out of range, possibly, if we ever develop a garbage collecting satellite that might, you know, go up, collect things, burn them up in the atmosphere or something. Who knows where it's going to go, but it's a way to help keep space clean, and we're using Britney Spears to do it. Or some other pop star, you know, or maybe even classical music. You know, who knows?
Who knows?
The radio is helping us track space.
Hooray! So we're like helping track space.
Potentially, yes.
Oh, man. That's how powerful our show is. It's pretty amazing. It almost makes you think if somebody saw gravity and saw us and was like, yeah, we should probably clean this up.
Yeah. I'm sure that gravity has raised some awareness of the space debris problem.
Well, from space to Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
A British town is going to change its name to King's Landing for a week.
Wow.
So this article I snagged from IGN, to mark the February 18th release of Season 3 of HBO's Game of Thrones on DVD, a town in England has decided to, temporarily, change its name to that of the capital of Westeros. For 1 week in February, the rural village of King's Langley in Hertfordshire, UK, will change its name to King's Landing.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. According to Radio Times via the Huffington Post, a producer for HBO's fantasy juggernaut heard the town's name while waiting for a train at London's Euston Station. And there, the producer apparently took a page out of Morgan Spurlock's book and orchestrated the name change stunt. Radio Times goes on to suggest a few other real-life British municipalities that could play host to a Game of Thrones homage of their own. If they're right, the town of Winterbourne might look forward to one day becoming the Starks' ancestral home, Winterfell.
Ooh, so that could be fun.
There you have it. There's going to be, for a week in England, a King's Landing. So there you go. You can go there and do things with relatives, and it's...
Yeah, we'll just leave that one where it is. maybe you don't want to be.
Moving on.
Just don't do the Lannister thing. That's all we say. Oh goodness. Alrighty. So, Let's see. So here's a from the chilly north of Westeros or the chilly climes of Westeros and England down to Peru, where
it's super cold there, right?
Totally cold in the Amazon, a giant rainforest. Yes, so it's not like it at all. But they did recently find that there is they found these structures on the sides of trees that look sort of like a imagine a small round fence with a kind of like a spire in the middle of it.
Okay.
And they found these formations and down there before, but they weren't sure what they were. They went on to track them. You know, like they found enough that they actually could see what happens, and it's a spider egg. Whoa. So they birth spiders. They haven't quite figured out what appears to be a protective fence around the spider egg is really used for, but they suspect that it's either it might have a twofold purpose: one, to protect the spider egg from the ants that have kind of a symbiotic relationship with the tree itself.
Okay.
And or to collect mites because it has like spider web like lines in it, and so like these mites were attracted to these kind of things. Huh. So it might be like instant food source for the new spider and stuff like that. So it's like this is the wonder of nature right here.
Yeah.
Life finds a way to quote.
adapt and just, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, it's like how do we protect our the next generation of our species? Well, let's try this. I don't know how that all works out. I'm not a biologist, but it's amazing because science
magic.
Is cool. Yes.
They have a lot of green mana that they tap. Yes,
I could see that being a conducive thing.
You know, I had to throw out some mm-hmm. sort of geeky, nerdy reference there.
Yeah.
You know, the audience expected it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know one person just changed the station instantly after that, but another person was like, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So. It's important to know.
It is. All right, so from spiders mm-hmm. to pizza.
Okay. I'm with you.
There's lots of stuff on pizza. Well, apparently
the pizzas are round and the spider walls
there,
are round.
There you go. And this is a new way that pizza has adapted to sell more of itself.
Yes.
See?
Uh-huh.
Because apparently Pizza Hut has sold $1 million in pizzas through the Xbox 360's app in 4 months.
Wow. That's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah. So this article I snagged from Polygon. Expect more pizza ordering options on your video game consoles based on the success of Pizza Hut's 360 app that launched last year. Within the first 4 months of the Pizza Hut app's existence, it did more than $1 million in business through Xbox Live. Quote, "It's been a source of unbelievable growth for us," said Doug Turferer, director of public relations for Pizza Hut, in an interview with Polygon. Just the explosion of people who wanted to download it, experiment with it, play with it with Kinect. As soon as we did one, everyone was contacting us to do the next one. Pizza Hut apps or reps wouldn't say when it would pursue other game console apps on, say, Xbox One or any of the other PlayStation or Nintendo platforms, saying, "Conversations continue to be ongoing with us. Wherever you are, we want to be." So more pizza ordering apps are on the company's roadmap, but may be far off in the future, meaning many of us will be forced to order food through more traditional non-video game console means. Oh,
what are we? What year is this anyways?
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's so weird. You think like, whoa, there's an app, and then,
mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah, this is totally easy. I mean, when restaurants or places now have like online ordering, it's just so much nicer than having to call, talk to the person, and have the chance of maybe messing up the order because they didn't understand something or this mm-hmm. or that, you know.
Or their connection was bad and they just couldn't be bothered. There's someone like yelling at them across the way, you know.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of...
Because, you know, I'll be honest, because I'm lazy and I'd rather just have like... simple menu of, okay, I want that one, click on that, okay, yes, boom, there, paid for it, boom, okay, I'll go pick it up or have it sent to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Didn't have to talk to one person.
And actually using the app is not that bad. You can, there are things you can do in the app that are actually relatively difficult to do when you talk to someone on the phone, like make like special requests, like
yeah,
a white sauce.
That's the other thing too. Whenever you have to do special request stuff, it's mm-hmm. so much easier. And
it's like, I need to do this, explain, or like, okay, just put a note on there, like, here's text explaining what's going on. You
yeah.
know,
it, so it'd be interesting to see if other companies of stuff jump on this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm,
for
mm-hmm.
since a lot of people have video game consoles and the Steam boxes and all that stuff. That's,
I wonder
what,
how that's going to turn out, because the Steam box is a fascinating idea.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I wonder if they'll be like the Netflix of food, where everywhere you go, your TV has the app in it to get you to order you food.
Yeah, that will be funny. What will be sort of the Netflix app that's on like everything? But
mm-hmm.
so I think what we're gonna do,
yes,
since you know we've unloaded a lot of information into people's brains,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
we're gonna take another music break. And then we'll come back with some more knowledge for
yeah.
them. But, you know,
sounds good.
Let's let the audience digest that information and mm-hmm. let them communicate to us.
Please do. You can find us on Twitter, Robots Attack Me, or on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. That is our page. And email is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Please hit us up on any of those places. I have them open on the screen in front of me, and we track them regularly. Throughout the show, you will get a shout out for sure if you hit us up.
Definitely. So, all right, let's get to that music. I'm going to play a local band called Careless Hearts. The album is Alum Rock, and the track is Push the World.
Mm.
That would be hard.
That would be very difficult. Unless you're Chuck Norris.
Big.
And then
it's
you don't
true.
Do a push up, you push the world down.
Oh,
you know? Hey.
Nice, nice, nice. All right, we're Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We're back in the news. Caleb's got some more for you.
That's right. I found this interesting article over on a place called SiteWorld, that's CIT, about how Iron Maiden is using piracy in some ways as a guide for where they're going for their tours.
I heard about this, yeah.
Yeah. Now, disclaimer, we can all agree that piracy is bad and you shouldn't be stealing stuff.
Yarr, matey!
You've asked. Now, that said, this genie is out of the bottle. You can't put it back in. There's no way to undo the piracy of digital age.
Wow, Britney Spears and a Christina Aguilera reference.
I actually hadn't thought of that until just now. Thank you.
Sure. I know about your 90s
pop princess
fascination.
Yeah, no. anyways, something you can draw valuable information out of the fact that things are being quote unquote taken from you, so to speak. Iron Maiden is one of it seems like there's a number of bands that are starting to catch onto this trend. Even some movie studios are catching on to this as well. I recently heard that HBO is like kind of tracking their where their shows are popular by the piracy, and like what markets need to infiltrate. Anyways, that's a different issue. This article kind of talks about how the reduction, let us say, of the local music store or the independent music store,
mm-hmm.
and in independent radio, it's harder and harder to find sort of unusual or new music sometimes. And in place.
Not here at KCU Santa Clara.
No, KCU Santa Clara is an exception to this rule. Around the world, like how the access to music and music from other places is rocky. Let's put it that way. It can be good. It can be bad. It really depends on who you are. But piracy works everywhere. That's kind of why it does what it does.
True. Yeah.
And even though people are taking it, you can still, like I said, you can get information out. And there's a couple companies that have started to track these just music being transferred over the internet, as opposed to, oh, those pirates are taking our things, or here's the legitimate music, or you should all be using this. It's like just, it's all information. It all has a degree of value. And if you go into an area where your music is being pirated, yes, you lose money on the discs. You lose money on CD sales.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the money that bands make comes from concert appearances.
True.
So you do a concert, you sell a t-shirt, you sell the experience of being at the show. You can't replicate that with an MP3. You can download a show and you can kind of get the feel of it, but you won't.
But actually being there.
Being there. You can't experience live music without it being live. It's an impossibility. So this is what some of these people are starting to do. Is like, oh, well, if we go and perform in these locations, we effectively recuperate all the money that and potentially even make more money than we lost in the piracy.
See.
Not defending piracy, just saying maybe it's not the worst thing that's ever happened. That's all. And they might be able to turn it to our advantage now that this happened. Let's figure out, okay, maybe, you know, give legitimate ways that are accessible and inexpensive. Makes awesome.
Yeah.
Artists should be paid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it wouldn't hurt to go play. Like, if your stuff is popular over there, just even illegally, that means that people like what you're doing. You might as well go and show up and say, hi, everybody. We're the ones that make that stuff.
Yeah. Like, oh, hey.
So... And then, you know, because like they have found, and later on the article, I think they cite that like the sales of music actually also increase it ends up balancing.
Yeah.
So something to consider. I'm not saying right or wrong, evil or not. Just this is interesting.
Yeah.
There's more data points being added to this chart, and it's starting to make an interesting curve.
I mean, especially with music, I mean, that just, it seems like such a good idea to like, oh, okay, we can track, man, a lot of people seem to like our music over in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go tour there. And
see, yeah.
Like, instead of, you know, oh, we didn't really sell that many tickets here. Why continue to go on this when we know we've got some information, unfortunately, from not a positive way, but we've sort of turned it into a positive way. And then,
when you go back to the history of Napster, that's what they were trying to do. Was they wanted to sell that information back to the record labels, but that's neither here nor there. That's the weirdness of the web.
but that's clever on Iron Maiden's part.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of things that are clever, if you are an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. That's where I found them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on from animals to Disneyland.
There's animal characters around there.
It's true. And apparently...
Mm-hmm.
Sort of in a sneaky way with this.
Uh-huh.
They actually let, from what I've heard, they let cats out at night in the park to help control the rat population.
I would not doubt that too much. It sounds like something that they would actually do.
Yeah, it's like, hey, here's a natural way to
keep down the rat problem.
Yeah, because, man, can you? I mean, all the food, all the candy, all the stuff, it's huge. Like,
That's got to be like a huge headache.
Yeah. So, but that's not what this story is about.
Okay.
This is about Disneyland is remodeling Tomorrowland.
Again?
Based on Star Wars Episode 7.
Mmm, clever.
By the time this gets built, they might have to change the name to Todayland. This story I snagged from IGN. Disneyland's Imagineers add them to the list of people who know more about the plot of Star Wars Episode 7 than you.
Yeah.
The House of Mouse has big plans for Episode 7 and its Anaheim-based theme park. Of course, these installations can't be built overnight, so the park's designers needed J.J. Abrams to spill the beans on Episode 7's super-secret story even before the script and casting are complete. The news comes from MiceChat.com, a site that describes itself as the recognized leader for information on Disneyland, Walt Disney World, the Walt Disney Company, and top theme parks worldwide. According to Mice Chat, TDA, Team Disney Anaheim, recently got the go-ahead to begin the first largely cosmetic phase of transforming Disneyland's Tomorrowland into the all-new Star Wars land. The bulk of the project, multiple rides and attractions based on the characters and story of Episode 7, is still a long way off, but the Imagineers apparently had the appropriate need to know to get the goods from Abrams. Quote, the Imagineers assigned to the Star Wars Tomorrowland project have now been debriefed on the characters and plot lines coming for Star Wars Episode 7 that opens in theaters in about 2 years. The original plan for Disneyland's Tomorrowland relied heavily on characters and plot points from the first three Star Wars films, with attractions like a Millennium Falcon walkthrough on the old People Mover platform, a wild cantina, Tatooine Cantina replacing Tomorrowland Terrace, and a speeder bike ride through Ewok Village, where Autopia currently sits. Those key attractions are all still part of Phase 2, but they are being layered or tweaked to include references from Episode 7 that will be released in theaters at least 18 months before any of those attractions open.
Wow.
So get ready for, man, if you've been like a Star Wars nerd like myself and were like, man, there's just not that much Star Wars stuff. Disney is like, we got you covered, man.
Serious.
We're getting ready to give you the Star Wars.
They love Star Wars coming out their ears. I have to admit, if they change the name, I will miss Tomorrowland just a little bit. But at the same time, it might as well take advantage of having one of the most lucrative franchises that has ever been developed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so many things have changed at Disneyland over the years.
Yeah. You know? It's like I said, it's one of those like memories tier, but it's not, but it's like, it's going to be cool whatever they do next. Cause that's sort of what they do.
Exactly.
They get paid the big bucks to do it.
And speaking of next, our other co-host has arrived to entertain us as well as you. Jason is here.
It's true. I am here.
Woohoo!
And you can sound French horns or, I don't know, trumpets.
There we go.
Yeah, always trumpets for me.
You know, you're just in time.
Okay.
For Caleb's robot story.
Okay. That's right. Now, since our robots attack, we figured no new segment would be complete without a little robot story.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So
sometimes a big robot story.
Sometimes a big robot story. In this case, it
about
is
about little robots.
Sometimes. This time it's a big story about big robots.
Okay.
We've mentioned on the show in this segment numerous times the fine folks over at Boston Dynamics. They are the people that brought us Big Dog, Cheetah, Wildcat, and Atlas, and a number of other like multi-legged robots.
YouTube
which I believe
them.
Google bought.
That's where this. That's what this. That's what is Google has now.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. You've been reading. That's excellent.
Reading. That was my master plan all along.
They have been purchased. They purchased Boston Dynamics. So now Google and Boston Dynamics are the same company, or at least a parent company.
Now they are one.
So they now have Android.
Yeah,
that was like, I thought, like, when is Skynet gonna launch after this? So this is like a really cool idea to take the brilliance and the money muscle of Google and pair it with robots, because I mean, if that's effectively what the self-driving car is going to be, and like they have other projects which have been hinted that they would go into a robotics direction, and shoot, can't remember his name now, but the head of the Android division,
Mr. Droid,
effectively,
Annie, whoopee.
It's not a dude.
but a man
named Anne.
the Android project got renamed Android because this guy was that the head is really into androids, and now he is going to be put at the head of the robotics division of Google. So he is going to be making real androids, which is
now he's just the head of droids,
possibly. So it's just really interesting to see where what Google will do next with this technology, because it's all sorts of fascinating. Even from even before they picked it up, it's like, you know, dark. Yeah. The idea is to change Boston Dynamics a little bit. They will not be doing quite as many defense contracts. They'll be focusing more on research, just like kind of pure research, as opposed to directed research, like. For the Defense Department. So that's going to be one change, but there's plenty of other robotics companies that will be glad to take DARPA money and make cool things. So
yeah.
So there you go.
Nice. And I believe Jason has our last news story of the night.
Ooh.
Yes, and it's a weird one. It's Night of the Living Dead sort of stuff, at least in my opinion, maybe.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Which version of Night of the
Well,
yeah, it's true.
Is this story in color or black and white?
If you go and check out the pictures, it is in color. So I guess that answers that question. If you lose your hand, if it's completely severed and they don't have time to get it back on you in time to save it, what do you do with it? I mean, you can throw it on ice, but let's say the ice won't keep. Let's say you're out in the middle of no place in China, nowhere near anybody who can do anything, but you do have a doctor right there who can kind of help you a little bit, but not put your hand back on.
Right. He's not like a master surgeon for that kind of thing. But
right.
He's a person.
Right. So somebody came up with the incredibly weird but apparently genius idea of sewing this man's severed hand to his ankle until they could get him to the doctor to have it reattached. So apparently they made the blood vessels work somehow so that it would keep the hand alive, not moving, of course. I don't think they have the tech for that.
Right.
But it makes for some really weird pictures.
I can only imagine what that picture looks like, and that's making me a little queasy thinking about it.
And you'll have a chance to see it in a second.
Oh, lovely. That has to be one of the weirdest things that I've ever seen.
It looks like a failed genetic experiment or something.
Yeah, it's like something out of like an Aeon Flux episode or something.
And if you want to see it, if you go to our Facebook page, we post all our news stories there, as well as Twitter. So you can check out the picture too,
right?
And understand why Caleb made the expressions he made.
You can't see my face right now, but it's making some very interesting contortions.
Yeah, brace your stomach a little bit. It might be more than you can handle if you're a little bit squeamish or afraid of zombies or whatnot. Because that would make a heck of a zombie right there, right? I mean, he was interrupted in the middle of his transportation to the doctor by zombie,
zombie attack. Yeah,
yeah.
That is a strange thing, but that's a really cool idea that they can actually make that work. It's like, it shouldn't work, but it totally does.
It's one of those things where I can't imagine the sort of perfect storm that had to occur, like. Well, we don't really have the correct stuff to reattach your hand, but we have a doctor who can attach it someplace where it'll get blood and so on. And apparently the doctor is like an evil genius.
Yeah. It's a genius something, because that is quite the maneuver right there. It's tip of the hat to you, sir. That is that was quite the Deus Ex Machina right there.
Very, very true.
All right. Would not have thought to do that.
Yeah, but I'm glad there are people out there who are thinking about those things.
Think outside the box, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Or outside of the ankle.
Ah,
or near the ankle.
And something like that.
Yeah.
And you heard that joke on Robots Attack here right. on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. All right, that's been the news. I'm sure we've amazed you with all those news stories. But if you're like, man, I missed them, go to our Facebook page, search Robots Attack.
Two words.
We got all the links on there. You can hit up our Twitter.
Robots Attack Me.
We got links on there as well, so you can go on your own time, because like I said, maybe you're driving. Not a good time to look stuff up while you're driving. Don't do that.
No.
But you can do that later. So we're going to take a music break.
Or get a co-pilot to look it up for you.
That'll work as well. All right. We're going to take a music break, and then we're going to come back with Caleb's Corner. We want to tease the folks about...
It's related to a topic that is kind of near and dear to my heart, which is fair use.
All right. Alrighty.
I'm always afraid of how I should best use fares also.
Oh boy. Yeah. All right. I'm going to play the artist, The Well-Wishers, the track Peel Away from the album Dunwoody. All right. You're listening to Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. This is Caleb's Corner. This is the part of the show where I get to espouse, expand, and elucidate my own opinions and thoughts and ideas. They do not reflect necessarily the thoughts or views of anyone here at KSU. Anyone here on Robots Attack, unless they choose to chime in, they start out with...
Being, I interrupt him a lot.
Yeah, you do. they are my own thoughts and opinions, so please don't, you know, complain to the station about me. If you want to complain about me, you can contact us directly through our website, robotsattack.me, or through email, which you can find there, and all that other good stuff. So, I mentioned that it was going to be about something which I find very good and useful and confusing. A lot of times, it's the thing called fair use. It is a aspect of American-specific copyright law that says that a copyrighted work can be taken and reused by not the originator, and it's not a outright theft of the original work. There are a number of ways of dealing with this, but the link I just put up is to Andy Bayo's article about a specific case, which is a company known as Goldieblocks and their sort of spat with the Beastie Boys. Goldieblocks is a company. It's a project to create engineering toys aimed at girls to kind of help them get into the idea of using sciences and getting involved in the sciences and engineering and stuff and bringing more ideas and diversity to these typically male-dominated worlds. And they made a really cool ad for their product using a re-lyriced version of Beastie Boys song Girls, and they received a notice saying that they need to stop doing that. It was a legal notice, and that's where it started, and then Goldieblocks did a did a
talking about that now. Yeah.
Illegal thing in return, and then the Beastie Boys did a legal suit in return. So there, it has been resolved, near as I can tell, and it's been resolved amicably. No one's like still in court about it, but it did raise a bit of a dust up, and it also helped. It also showed that fair use is a difficult thing, because it's intended. It was always intended to be sort of a case by case basis, so that, you know, there are guidelines. So if you stay within these guidelines, chances are you'll be safe. But at the same time, if the person feels like, you know, you really just stomped all over my creation, it's not cool, you know, they can still have recourse. Andy Bayo has been covering copyright law for a while. He is himself not a lawyer, but he's covered it for so long that you kind of, like, one of those things, like, you gain enough knowledge that you can kind of look at things and see where patterns emerge, even if you are not a legal mind. So it's like, do not take anything he's saying here as legal advice, but it's very interesting ways of looking at how the system works. And he kind of like takes some of the myths that have sprung up out of the this case, like things about it, like that the music was stolen from the Beastie Boys, or that the or that the Beastie Boys always have a right to how their music is used. Like, these are things that they sound logical, but legally they actually aren't quite correct. And also he explains like why it is, how it is, and it, you know, there's exceptions to a lot of these things, and you can, he has links to, you know, how it works and what rights you do have as a copyright owner and stuff like that. So, but the main thing is that the fair use is a very real thing, and it, and you can create a lot of stuff with it. One of the more famous versions of where fair use came into play, and it worked out for the creator, was the advertising for the Naked Gun 33 1/3 film. You know, that was several years back, and Vanity Fair that year had released the cover with Demi Moore, where she was pregnant and naked on the cover.
Right.
And then they made a poster.
I don't remember that.
I don't believe you. the filmmakers made, the advertising agency did a redo of that picture, but with Leslie Nielsen as head stuck on it. So it was like,
I remember that. Okay.
So there was this,
I don't know about that original one, but
yeah. So there was a that created a legal dust up at the time, and as memory serves, it ruled in the favor of the advertising agency, saying that they had actually created a transformative version of this. It's like, you look at it and you're like, you can tell it's not actually Demi Moore. It's not, there's no confusion over who's over what the picture is, but you can definitely tell that it's a reference back to something else. And he also, and he links to the written decision by the court. And it's actually relatively clear. It's not like full of like legal speak. It's actually got English in there that doesn't sound like it was, someone had aphasia while writing it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, though. Part of it has to do with whether you're actually making fun of something, right? That actually gets around a lot of it.
Parody is one of the biggest defenses that is, it's one of the first defenses trotted out for fair use, because you can parody something and not get in trouble for it, because that's, because you're not actually, it's not actually the thing, but you can tell what the thing is that they're talking about. It's like when Saturday Night Live does their political satires. It's like, you know exactly who they are or what they're about, but you know that that's not the words that the original person said, and or things of that nature. Funny or Die, when they do some of their like fake movie trailers whatever. It's like, you know what it is and you know what they're doing, but they're not legally like taking from, even though like they might borrow the soundtrack from the trailer or what have you. It's like,
yeah,
it's a new thing. It just happens to look very much like this other thing, or reference this other thing that exists already. So yes,
unless it has anything to do with Disney, you will get sued out of existence.
Well, that's because Disney has the bigger has lawyers that are
they keep fields of lawyers.
Yeah, them and Apple. Google too, actually, but that's a different issue.
They keep or cultivate?
The answer to that is yes.
Oh, and to go back for those who are like young in our audience, mm-hmm. a magazine is, it's sort of like a book, but it's, right. you know, it's a like thin papers with mm-hmm. lots of pictures in it. And sometimes it has like perfume smell because yep. there's ads and stuff in it, mm-hmm. and papers and pictures, you know. So
yeah.
just in case you're like, what's a magazine?
It's got leafy.
They're weird.
It's got leafy, leaf-like yeah. things inside of it that have images and words on, printed upon them with ink. Oh wow! We're just, if that's all sounding like Greek, just go with it. But yeah, there's
Hunt Down highlights. That's all I have to tell you.
And Mad Magazine, those are awesome. But anyway, like this article just kind of breaks down sort of the ideas of fair use, how it actually works in the real world, and what you can sort of learn from it. Obviously, if you're planning on doing something a little bit sketchy, find real legal advice.
Yeah.
But like if you want to make a funny video, like this might give you some like ways of like how you can understand like how the system sort of operates, so you can be like, okay, this and this happened when it was like this, so maybe I'll go this way instead of doing it, you know.
Nice.
So there
and
you
they,
go.
And they can check those out
on our Facebook and Twitter. Robots Attack Me is all one word, is our Twitter handle. Robots Attack as a search in Facebook will bring up our page. The link will be there. And when the show goes into podcast form on robotsattack.me, that's where you will also find links to this as well.
Nice. All right. That's been a very informative Caleb's Corner. We got a PSA that is also informative.
Yes. Our visions of summer peaches and plums dancing in your head.
Mm.
I'm looking at you, Caleb.
Plums sound good.
Winter is the perfect time to learn to prune your trees. Didn't see that one coming. Mm. Join pruning specialist and landscaper Sean McGrail to learn the correct method of pruning fruit trees. Then practice what you learn by pruning a variety of trees in the historic orchard. Guadalupe River Park Conservancy sponsors this workshop Saturday, January 18th, from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Pre-registration is required. Call 408-298-7657 to reserve your spot or visit www.grpg.org to learn more. Space is limited.
Nice. All right.
Back to now.
We're going to take another music break. I'm going to play the track Say What You Want from the artist Unknown Relatives from the album 2. And then we'll be back with The Core, where we're going to discuss, we're going to look back fondly mm-hmm. on 2013, some of our memories that we enjoyed, some of our memories and moments, and talk about those. They can range from anything. So it's not just a list of top movies of this or that. It's just some of our favorite moments from last year. So mm-hmm. definitely want to stick around for that. But first, here's some Unknown Relatives with Say What You Want.
You are now entering The Core. Enjoy your say.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. As the bumper indicated, we are in The Core. We're going to be talking about some of our fond memories of last year. We're going to go back, peek into the year that was 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many moons ago.
Yes.
So long.
Yes.
It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. All 9 days of it.
As Stained once said, it's been a while.
I didn't. And as Cake once said, it's been a long time.
And
your turn.
As the Might Be Giants said, you're older than you've ever been, and you're only getting older. Time, it's on our side.
Okay. Now that we've done that.
Good night, everybody. But the moments. I thought that shows weird.
That was our favorite moment. Yeah. We right just there. Relived it for you.
Yeah, we did that.
Okay. I'm going to start it off really easy with just a couple of movies. But they were the ones that really caught me off guard and I wouldn't have ever guessed were going to be my favorite movies. Number one was Gravity, okay. Although it's not in any particular order.
Yeah, this is the first one you mentioned, yeah.
But, yeah, I really cannot stress enough how much you, if you haven't seen this, go out and see it in a good theater,
yeah,
if possible. I mean, it. I know it's way too late at this point, but wait for it to come out on 3D. Find somebody who has the biggest big screen 3D screen that you can.
Yeah.
Because it's something that's lost in eternity if you haven't experienced this.
Yeah, but I just can't imagine. Because honestly, like, there's really not much to the story. It's all, like, visual spectacle.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
I hope that they end up, like, especially since the Oscars are coming up, if anybody gets nominated, I hope they, like, re-release it in theaters for people, because, yeah, if you don't...
usually do, and it's going to get at least a couple nods, but yeah.
Yeah, if you don't see it in the theater, I almost, like, don't bother seeing it on right. DVD, because it's not going to have the same impact.
Yeah,
it's just...
you'll be like, what?
Yeah, because, like I said, I mean, at least for me, it's not that the story's bad, it's just there really isn't that much to it, so
right, yeah.
Without that visual bang, you lose a lot. Mm-hmm. So,
which in some ways is why it worked, is from what I can tell, is that since they kept the story simple, they could, like, just pour all the extra energy into the visuals and then make that, like, spectacular.
Yeah,
they did a good job on it. And the other one that I would have never guessed in a million years, because I did not care about this character one slightest shred, the Man of Steel movie. Okay. I enjoyed the crud out of that movie. It still staggers me. I actually like Superman now. I care about the next movies coming out. It was a changed formative moment for me. And, I don't know how to explain it any better than that. I'm actually still kind of amazed. I'm familiar with the director. I'm used to the things that he does well and the things that I think he doesn't not so well. I'm amazed he put together this movie, because it was really solid from a lot of different angles, and was really good at making you like a character that is about as old school as you can get.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was a bit of a surprise. Like, wow, this is not the movie I would have expected, and especially from this director. Not my favorite, right. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that I enjoyed it as well.
And the stuff that I'm hearing about the new Batman versus Superman movie coming up, a lot of it makes me really nervous, but now that I know that he can do this stuff,
you have a little more faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm holding my breath.
So how about you, Joe? What was some of your...
Oh, no.
No?
It's me? Your turn.
My turn? Oh, okay.
Because you're sitting next to Jason, so it's just... It's easier right.
It's true. It's to go in counterclockwise.
That line, like the line, the distance between the circumference
two
of the
of
pie
2 points.
Yes.
Rated with Warrant and Quiet Riot.
Yeah.
Especially.
All right. Well, one of the things that I really enjoyed about 2013 was the release of Daft Punk's latest album, Random Access Memories. I am a sucker for Daft Punk, and I understand that some people didn't like it as much as others. But I
wink, wink, nudge, nudge. My fingers pointing.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything as you're pointing at me. continue to.
For myself, I just enjoyed the crap out of that album. It was just a lot of fun. Like, I understand why people, it's not their favorite Daft Punk album, but I really liked it. And
any particular tracks you like especially? Or
one of the things that I enjoyed was, like, seeing what other people did with it, because, like, in especially after Tron Legacy, like when the one where they remix all of their tracks.
Yeah.
I thought that was an amazing album. And this, like,
cool.
This idea of, like, remixing, like, really other good music and making it kind of unique and better in some ways has like proliferated even further with YouTube making tons and tons of like covers. And I enjoyed the track Get Lucky. I don't know if it's my favorite one, but I like it a lot. And just like, yeah, it was all over the radio. I'm sure people are up to their eyeballs and then some with the song, but I really enjoyed like every other day it seemed like there was someone else making a new cover on YouTube. I'm like, this is like just so much fun seeing what people are doing with it. I think my favorite one was this guy who's he created an instrument which is effectively, it's somewhere between a xylophone and a pipe organ. Yeah, because it's like it's just a bunch of various lengths of PVC pipe. And he made these like special batons like that are like flat and he hits them. It creates this really unique sound.
Okay.
And just his particular remix and cover of the song was just fantastic. So if I can, maybe I'll find that, throw that in the show notes for later.
That'd be cool.
So yeah, I'll say and then another one. I'm gonna go with Catching Fire, because. Okay. I really enjoyed the book. Then I really enjoyed the movie. And I further enjoyed the movie because it sort of resurrected is a little bit overstating, but like it I felt it really captured what the look and feel of the story of the in the book better in some ways than the first movie did. Like it really, I felt like this was like this has made a really good launching off point for the next book, because it's like, yeah, okay, with this creative team, with this direction, they can, I think they can actually tell the somewhat complicated aspects of the next version of the story, because this movie like really captured the ideas and the feel and the characters themselves, like, because that's really the strongest part of almost all of these stories is the characters. Yeah. And I feel like they did a really good job of nailing like the feeling of these characters and the story. So looking forward to seeing more of them in the next movies.
They do a really good job on the bad guys in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yeah. I will definitely be curious how they handle the next one not really a spoiler, but, you know, going away from the Hunger Games themselves, like what it'll be like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be one of like, I wonder how that's going to go down.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll mention now one of mine.
Yes. Excellent.
I will move from away from movie. I'll pick something different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick the Tomb Raider reboot.
Okay. Nice.
Which coincidentally is coming out with the definitive edition later on this month.
It's like a doubleheader.
I'm looking forward to that because that looks freaking awesome.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I thought they did a fantastic job with the reboot. Some people were like not so keen on the story so much. I thought it was fine. I thought they did a decent job with all the characters. They did a fantastic job with Lara.
Yeah.
The voice actress, all the motion capture, everything was just like incredible. Like just such a bang up job. I was just like, I cared so much about her character. Like I know some people on some lines were like, oh man, it had some really like nasty over the top kind of death scenes. Mm-hmm. And I think on the one hand, I do agree that they were pretty over the top, but for me, they made me like really want to make sure that she never got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, when I happened to have some of those happen to me, it was like, whoa, yeah, I really don't want that to happen again. Okay, I'm gonna make sure and do this right. And
yeah, it almost made you like feel it with her, like, no, let's at all costs, not that again.
And I just thought, I mean, it's such a little thing, but I loved that whenever you're going through the levels and there were enemies present, Lara changed her stance. And whenever she like got near like cover, she would huddle and go near the cover. And it just flowed. It just felt like an actual like kind of natural person there. I didn't have to, okay, I need to push this button to do all this sort of thing. It was like, oh, okay, there's some danger. she's sensing it and letting me know that there's danger, you know, not just like also listening for cues and that sort of thing, but right. it was cool. Like going to cover, she'd go on it and like the bow is so awesome. I mean, there's, you can upgrade a bunch of different weapons in the game, but I ended up sticking with the bow and upgrading that like most of the time. I mean, just,
it's pretty mean. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just so much fun. Like, and I'm going to get the definitive edition and play through it all again. Like, I can't wait to do it again. Like, I just had such a blast. There's a moment, I won't spoil anything for those who haven't played, but there's a moment in there that I felt she actually, like, became sort of powerful. And, like, they did such a good job of making you feel that. Like, she got this certain thing, and her attitude, like, sort of instantly changed, where she was reacting a bunch of stuff. She was finally, like,
instigating.
Yeah. And you just felt like, she felt like a badass. You felt like a badass. She's like, yeah, all right. Like, I'm not going to spoil it, but yeah, it was just, it was a really cool, like, feeling. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, that game definitely got the feel, gave you the feels a lot better than most any other version of it has.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait for the next one that I know they are working on. All right. The next, I'm going to pick another video game. I'm going to go with, this one surprised the hell out of me. I liked the creators behind it from some of their previous games. Their art style and their music always made them fun. But Charlie Murder is a Xbox Live arcade game. It was part of the previous like Summer of Arcade, like that. I ended up grabbing it when it was on sale, and it's just a lot of fun. Like, it is just a kind of a simple brawler, but it has a bunch of these little things to it that just make it fun. Like, it's
really well crafted.
Yeah, you can choose between all these different band members. I chose Charlie. That's what I've been playing with most, and he's the singer. So like, his sort of special ability is he pulls out a mic and then shouts in it, and it's sort of like a cone blast. And you get these various tattoos that give different abilities to that cone blast. So
nice.
One is like creating a giant tornado. There's another where you can turn like a bad guy on your side. Another one's just like the regular blast, poison blast, all this sort of stuff. But another cool feature is you get like armor and items as like clothes. And like I mentioned, like tattoos and hats and stuff like that. And like, you find all those different things, and that sort of help boost your stats and give you different, you know.
Like it was consistent with what you would expect.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't just like, oh, you found this, you know, suit of armor or something. Like, oh, that doesn't really, it's kind of, although there are sort of armor guys and some of the things. But anyway, yeah, it was more like all these different clothes, and you can go to shops, dye those clothes different colors if you want. You go and actually like brew beer. And depending on the yeast and what, other,
I love that yeast.
Yeah. Other materials you brew with it, like, changes the different abilities that it, you know, boosts on you. And you use your cell phone to, like, kind of interact with the world, and that's where you, like, upgrade your stats when you get stat points. And they have, like, QTR codes in the game that you open up your phone and scan them, and they'll give you, like, money or items or that sort of thing. So it's just
really slick.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to play it with anybody else, like, just by myself, but it's been a blast. But I can just imagine, like, even better with a group of friends just getting together. But, yeah, it just surprised the hell out of me how much I ended up, like, really liking that game.
Well, and it's that nice blend of, or on that curve of complexity versus difficulty. It's like, it's not an exceedingly, or depth versus difficulty. It's like, it's not totally difficult, but it has a lot of depth. Like, there's a lot of things you can do to yourself to customize the way you play the game. So that's pretty cool.
Exactly. And before we move on to some more from Jason, I've got another PSA for you.
Ooh, what do we
got? It's about the radio stream. If you want to listen to KSU, even when you are not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And another little helpful tip, say you heard a song while no one was here.
That's right.
If you go to lastfm.com and you look for KSU Radio, all one word, it'll keep track of all the songs that the Robo DJ played. So I know a lot of times people are like, oh man, what song was played? Yeah. No one was here. You know, we don't know. How do we get it?
Shazam, but if you're not near your phone.
Exactly. So you can go there, check it out. It lists the time, the date, all that stuff. And it goes back pretty far. So
Yeah, that's
funny. I would have never thought of that, even though it's actually made for that.
Yeah, I just recently found it out. So so just passing it along. But
there you go, friends. The Robo DJ, when you like it, you can find it.
Yeah. All right, Jason. What have you got for us?
Okay. It's a couple of video games, but more it's just the mood and the feel of these games that I think really kind of nailed things down in better ways than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is probably going to be a groaner because a lot of people have mentioned it, even though I don't think it's considered like a top game of all time or anything like that. Call of Duty Ghosts. Right. Just because it still has problems of being too much of a Call of Duty game when things should be evolving quite a bit, it seems like. But the one thing that it still does incredibly well is makes you relate to an animal, oddly enough. Like, whether you're playing multiplayer or single player, it's really amazing how much you actually care about this little fictional dog.
Right.
It's true.
And to me, it's sort of an extension of the entire feeling that you get from the Tomb Raider game. Like, having something that's so likable and you really want to root for. And for me, the really big thing is, and since I pretty much just played multiplayer, I haven't really played the single player in these games for a long time. This game actually made me want to try single player out for the first time in a long time, because of the dog, number one. And it was amazing to me how much, without the single player experience, you end up either rooting for or caring for this dog in a multiplayer sort of situation. Just because you'd think it would be something that would be considered really disposable really quickly. Just because it's an airdrop, effectively.
Right.
It feels weird, like you'll get one in a care package.
Yeah.
But they still handle it in kind of cool way. It's not you, like, pulling the dog out of a crate or anything like that. You're still, it's cool. You whistle to the dog, and the dog comes running to you out of no place, and it always feels good.
Totally unrelated to that particular game, but I get a similar feeling when I call my horse in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, there's the horse again. Even when I do it by accident, it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't mean to call you horse, but that's okay.
I still love you, horse. But yeah, it's a unique feeling for a very well-trod game that I wasn't expecting anything like that from it. The other thing that was a huge surprise that I still need to get through and play more of is the Blood Dragon game from Far Cry. It's a game I have struggled with caring about because I've always been a big graphics person, and so every time they come out with a Far Cry game, I drool a little bit looking at all of the pretty pictures and thinking to myself, oh, okay, that's really nice. But when it comes to actually wanting to play any of them, it gets really difficult for me really quick. It's been a game that I've never really connected with. But this sort of pseudo-expansion that they come up with for this game that popped out of nowhere. You don't need the original game or anything, but they still call it Far Cry for some reason.
It's because it's based on the Far Cry engine.
And I get it, but I don't get it.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's like it's the same like location as Far Cry 3, like the same island and all that sort of stuff. It's just, but you don't need it, and it confused people. Like, oh, do I need Far Cry 3 to buy it? No.
Yeah. I shudder to think of how many people lost out on this experience just because of confusion. Because it is the definitive 80s video game.
Yeah.
And that's weird to say.
Awesome soundtrack, too.
Right, in 2013. Because they nailed all of the humor, unintentional or otherwise, from the 80s. Mm-hmm. They got, yeah, needlessly neon things, a la Tron.
We need it look futuristic. Put a glowing edge on it.
Right. I mean,
okay.
That's what you have to do.
That's what we thought of in the 80s.
Yep.
But yeah, completely caught me off guard, and I want more of it desperately. Hopefully that's something that they'll deliver again and again without cheapening it.
True. Well, before we get to more from Caleb, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Maybe your Riley is waiting for you there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the dog's name from Call of Duty. Yeah. Close, just in case you don't know.
Yeah.
Tied all that
tied
together.
All back. All right, Caleb, what you got for us?
Alrighty. Well, one of the ones I want to mention is actually Ender's Game, the movie. With all my movie picks, I'm gonna like just preface with, I'm not talking about quality. I'm talking about the fact that I liked them. I'm not gonna argue about whether you thought they were good or not.
This list is our favorite moments.
Exactly.
Nobody else's. It doesn't matter.
And heck, you don't even have to defend yourself on those lines. I thought it was a well made movie, from what I could tell.
Yeah, I read the book recently, and it was a great book. Yeah.
They're like magazines. But they're the next magazines. As in on the chopping block.
And I thought it was fantastic. My wife read it, and she loved it also. And when we saw the trailer for it, you know, last summer, we were like really excited. And I think that the movie did a lot of really smart things. If you read the book and you saw the movie and you thought, wow, they left out a lot, the answer is yes, they left out tons. That said, they also made, I think, lots and lots of really smart choices that took a very difficult book to turn into a film and made a really good film out of it. No spoilers, the book is very introspective. You spend most of the time inside Ender Wiggins' head.
Oh, okay.
And when you have a book that's that introspective, you gotta, like, you wonder, how are you gonna make a movie which is like completely external to a character, like without like tons of voiceover, which is we'll just not get into how much that is a pain in the neck. But like, you know, how do you make a story that is very compelling and is as big as the book is without like yards and yards of voice work? And I thought they did a really excellent job of making it work, even though they had to condense the heck out of it, but I think they did it really well.
Okay.
And I thought it was one of the best translations of or transitions from book to film.
Oh, okay.
That was done that year, that one in the Great Gatsby. But that I'm citing that one because I'm a big sci-fi fan.
Nice.
So that was one of them.
Okay.
And one of my favorite things was the Xbox Live free games with gold. I have picked up at least four games that I was like, I did not expect this game to be any good. Wow, this game is amazing. And my wife has found like several that she's like, yeah, I actually want to play that game. So it's, yeah, you know, it's been one of the best values. I've always felt Live Gold is a decent value. And I thought this was like just icing on the cake.
Nice.
It's
program.
Like, it's like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Sony, PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably without it, you know, probably wouldn't be Games with Gold.
Wouldn't have been the pressure.
Yeah. And I fully salute the Sony team for pushing to make the everyone better, because like when one person pushes, the other one has, you know, pushes back and forth. It's a good thing.
Exactly.
Notably, I wanted to call out Assassin's Creed 2 and Might and Magic: Clash of Heroes as games that I thought that I exceptionally enjoyed out of the lot.
Yeah, you definitely do play a lot of the Clash of Heroes. I'm like, I think Caleb likes this game.
I like this game a lot. It's sort of like Portal for me and my wife. It's like we play it together. It's like, yes, I'm the one holding the controller, but it's like, because it's a strategy game, you can actually like say, oh, move that guy over there, move that one over there. You get to stack this, and
that's cool.
It's fun.
Good bonding
mm-hmm.
and all that jazz.
Indeed.
Nice. All right. Well, I'll move on to something that isn't a video game, isn't a movie.
What?
It's like a moment and sort of a feeling. It's arriving the day before mm-hmm. Comic-Con starts. That Wednesday, technically, you know, it's Wednesday. Preview night's there. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to go to preview night, but I arrive Wednesday to check in, get all things ready. But to me, like that, it's one of the best moments of Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
When I get there, it's just like, you feel the energy,
the anticipation.
You pick up your ticket, like, you know, exactly like you said, just the anticipation, like, okay, you're like, oh, what's going to come? What's going to happen? You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you see the list of things like, oh, okay, oh, I want to check that out. Oh, I want to go see that. Like, but nothing's happened yet. So everything is like exciting and just, you just mm-hmm. can't wait. Like, I love that day getting there. It's almost, in a weird sort of way, it's like, that's the best time, and it sort of goes downhill from there. Like mm-hmm. it's not like, oh, it just drops off a clip and it just sucks.
Right.
But like
uh-huh.
that moment is just, I love that moment.
It's the present in the wrapping.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh man, yes. It's like, it's the start of it. Mm-hmm. I've got 4 days mm-hmm. to experience everything. I'm going to go to this place that I've made a ritual out of eating on Wednesday when I go. And all right, I got my room set up. Okay, how am I going to tackle this? All right, what am I going to hit first? Like, it's just, I love it. It's just, it's so awesome. And then just being around everybody who else is exciting and seeing some people who are already dressed mm-hmm. up or getting ready and that sort of thing, just wander around like,
right.
hey, that, you know, like, that person likes the same stuff that I do, you know, mm-hmm. sort of in a way like, hey, we're sort of a family. Like, it's kind of weird, sort of safe, like friendly feeling, even though, you know, there's stuff there that everyone still mm-hmm. makes fun of stuff that people like, but it's still fun, like time to be there. And I know this wasn't good for the two people that it happened to, but when I was walking back from getting the tickets, like somebody rear-ended another person.
Oh no.
And like, it was, you could tell the person who rear-ended the other person was there for Comic-Con, and the person who got rear-ended probably was not.
mm-hmm.
And it was interesting when she got out and she was quite mad and the guy was like, like really nervous. And it's like, man, that sucks. But this is an interesting moment. Like it's just part of it. That was that Wednesday.
It's watching two cultures clash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crash.
I can just imagine that person's like probably from around here and was like, hates whenever this has to happen or something. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, great.
It's like, oh, it's one of you importers.
So for me, it's like Christmas at the mall. But
So that was definitely one of my favorite moments from last year. And then I pick the release of the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We finally got brand new systems. It's not perfect.
No.
But 8 years, 360, PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good run.
It's a very good run.
A lot of great games.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of awesome memories. But finally, like, getting a piece of the future, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes. And just sitting in my bed, realizing, okay, I need to go to bed now, and going, Xbox, turn off. Yes. System turns off. My TV turns off, cable box turns off, receiver turns off, I roll over, go to sleep. It's just awesome.
It never gets old.
Exactly.
It never gets old.
It's just, it's so like, such a little thing, but it's so cool. Like sometimes nothing works 100%, but man, when it does, it's just awesome. Like, all right, this is the future, quote unquote. I'm liking it, and it's only going to get better.
Oh, yeah.
And if we look back at 360 and PS3 when they launched,
mm-hmm.
what they are now.
You would never believe they would get where they went where they started.
What the one and the PS4 are going to be. So
yeah.
So those are mine. I think we've probably got time for one more from each of us, so why don't go, Jason?
Okay. I debated doing this, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to list off something. It's not necessarily mine, but I'm adopting it as mine. It's one of Oprah's favorite things from 2013.
Oh, jeez.
Please keep your pants on when you say this.
I didn't see. I had no idea this even existed, so I have to look this up now. It's the Tefal Actifry. You can apparently fry foods with only one tablespoon of oil. I have no idea how it works, and it's actually fascinating me right now. So I don't know if there's like oil sprinklers in it or something like that. So I'm going to say thank you, Oprah.
That's one of your favorite moments from last year?
No, I'm saying this was one of Oprah's favorite moments. So it has to be shared with the world, right? That's very important. Man.
Mm.
Are you belittling Oprah? Okay. Fine. Whatever. I'm done with you then.
Well, there you are then.
Awesome.
From there, I'm going to go with seeing a couple of my friends self-publish books.
Nice.
A couple of friends, they one of them did a book called Lit Knits, which is a collection of knitting patterns based on famous works of literature, and the other one is called The Illuminator's Gift, which is a novel. So, two really cool things.
Is that the one you interviewed?
I interviewed them.
Little plug there.
On my own blog. I can link to it if that's okay. But it was a lot of it. Just
no.
But just really cool.
Oprah says no.
It's just really exciting to see other people like kind of fulfill like a dream of their own and kind of get to celebrate it with them. So that was one of my favorite things.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Oh man, for my list, what do I want to pick?
All right, I'm gonna do a real one. I'm gonna squeeze it in really quick.
Well, then you gotta wait.
Okay.
Because
I thought you were stumped, I was gonna jump in, but
I appreciate it. Okay. But I think I thought about this one, and I tied it with something. So I think playing Gone Home during the my brain is spacing on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Child's Play. It's the other one. Dang it.
Yeah. No, I know which way.
Yeah, it's so memorable. I can't remember it.
Every so often, names just fall.
But the 24-hour gaming for children's hospitals,
mm-hmm.
I know someone out there is like yelling at the radio. But anyway, I never played Gone Home before. Everyone was raving about it. So I thought, I'll pick this up, I'll stream it, have people watch me play it. So if they never had a chance, since it's just on the PC, since we mostly do console stuff, it was just a blast doing it. The game is awesome, and it was just fun, like, interacting with the people that watched it with me and, like, just experiencing some, like, amazing voice work, some really good music, and... Since I'm the child of the 90s, like a lot of stuff sort of was cool, sort of remember, like, oh yeah, remember that sort of stuff. Like,
and it was the Extra Life.
That's it. Yeah. So, yeah, I would sort of tie actually Extra Life and Gone Home. Like, just that whole experience was really awesome, staying up for 24 hours. Sort of 25 because of the time change.
Yeah.
Watching you slowly go mad.
Yeah. But for a good cause. We raised, I think our team raised, I think, over a couple $1,000 for Oakland's Children's Hospital. But okay, Jason, wrap us up.
Okay. I say this with all of my heart. One of my favorite moments of this year was in this very studio on Halloween. If you haven't had a chance, look up that episode, play it.
Mm-hmm.
It was sheer joy for me. And And it was really cool, like, seeing everybody's contributions to the Halloween spirit around this calendar right now.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It took a little bit to get everything organized, and I think we ended up sort of over-preparing for some things, but I think that was better that we did that than...
It worked out in the long run, I think.
Yeah. All right. I think... that's going to do it for us. That's been a sort of a look back on some of our favorite moments from last year. And next week, we'll look to this year, future, and pick some of the things we're excited for that we know of that are coming out. I mean, it is January, but there are certain things we know about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's going to do it for Robots Attack. Coming up, the Pre-Funk Show. Stick around for some awesome music. They're great guys. You're going to enjoy it. All right. Thanks for listening. Caleb, quickly tell them how they can check out old episodes and contact us and all that jazz.
The main way to get in to get all that good stuff is to go to robotsattack.me. That is our own website that has links to all of our social integrations like Facebook and Twitter. And you can our Twitter handle is robotsattackme, all one word. Our Facebook page is a search for Robots Attack, two words, or robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Please interact. If you let us know, interact, we will interact with you. It's awesome. Yeah, that's where you... And robotsattack.me, archive episodes, and other cool things there.
Yeah,
that's also where you'll
find the Halloween episode.
And you can find that on iTunes. We're also on there.
Yes, on the episodes. iTunes as well.
Rate us, review us, all that jazz.
All that good stuff.
All right, thanks for listening. We'll be back next Thursday from 7 to 9.
Yep.
Have a great weekend and all that jazz.
Raccoon, Veronica, Mistel.